Concerto for Orchestra and the world premiere of Mannequin by Unsuk Chin. Take your seat for the National Youth Orchestra live in concert this Thursday night at 7:30 and online in HD sound for 30 days on BBC Radio 3.
It's 11 o'clock and time now to join Jez Nelson for Jazz on 3. This week his studio guest is Ian McMillan, who presents poetry and performance on The Verb here on Radio 3. And you can catch up with the latest edition of that on the Radio 3 website. And there's poetry and performance coming up now on this week's Jazz on 3.
Gondoliers, Alice in Wonderland, split prawns, squeezing ectoplasm from the prince that never came.
I've just spotted parrots. There are colanders, feathers, a man in a flying hat and a flying machine, and in the background, hills and rather startled-looking sheep.
Hello. Tonight's programme is a celebration of people who do it their own way. We're celebrating the 80th birthday of pioneering jazz poet Michael Horowitz, and we're off to the Marsden Jazz Festival in West Yorkshire. Stay tuned for street parades and a premiere of a new work from composer Simon Fell, which joyfully skips between ragtime ensemble playing and free improvisation. That concert coming up in around about 10 minutes' time. It's a really fun affair. And helping us to join all the dots tonight is the presenter of Radio 3's The Verb, poet and proud Yorkshireman, Ian McMillan. Hi there, Ian.
Hi, Jez. It's great to be here at the hub of jazz. It's always seemed to me, this place.
Really pleased to have you here. And I think you're a bit of a regular Jazz on 3 listener. We know that because you occasionally tweet that you're cooking when you're listening to the programme.
Yeah, I listen to it often when it's broadcast, but then sometimes I listen to it on Sunday dinner time when I'm mixing my Yorkshire puddings, and it just seems a bit of free improvised jazz is the perfect accompaniment to mixing your Yorkshires.
So is that the area of the music you're into?
Yeah, I've always loved the kind of thing that my wife describes as haven't practised, the kind of thing that always sounds like somebody falling downstairs in a suit of armour, I always say. And I find that viscerally exciting.
Pet shop on fire is the
other kind of thing. Yeah. And they're always kind of diminutive, reductive terms for it. But I just find it joyous. I just find it endlessly, endlessly joyous. And I wish more people listened to it and would take the time with it and just realise what a fantastic thing it is.
OK, well, that's what we're going to do over the next 90 minutes. We gave you a little pile of new releases from the Jazz on 3 office and asked you to bring along your favourite. What have you gone for?
This is this fantastic trio from Switzerland called Vane, and they've got together with the sax player Dave Liebman. And what I like about them is that it's like what all jazz is. They get together in a room, they create something that as soon as you hear it, you feel cooler, you feel more alive, you feel more human, and at the end of listening to the album you think, gosh, the world is full of possibilities, which is what I always think jazz is about.
Okay, and you've chosen which track?
This is called Waking with a Start, which I always do. Mm-hmm.
There's a band that we featured on Jazz on 3 last year. They hail from Switzerland. Brothers, I think, Florian and Michael Arbenz. Michael on piano and Florian on drums. Thomas Lanz on bass and their special guest, Dave Liebman, playing saxophone. The band are called Vane. The album is called Jazz Talks. And that was Waking with a Start, chosen by my guest on Jazz on 3 tonight from Radio 3's The Verb, Ian McMillan. And later on in the show, Ian's going to be in conversation with the improvising poet and musician, Michael Horowitz, who turns 80 this month. Now, for the next hour or so, we're going to be listening in on last year's Marsden Jazz Festival. In a few minutes, we have a concert premiering a work commissioned by the festival from the bass player and composer Simon Fell. Ian, I think Marsden's just down the road from where you live, so just give us a sense, first of all, of the town and then this festival.
It's in that wonderfully odd part of Yorkshire, where you're going out from West Yorkshire towards Lancashire. It's in its own valley. It's got kind of legends attached to it. They used to call them moonrakers because there was a pond where people apparently went out trying to rake the moon out or fish the moon out. So it's always got a great feel for jazz because it feels to me, whenever I pass through it, which I do a lot, that it's a kind of improvised place, if you know what I mean. It feels like the kind of place where this sort of thing will be welcome.
OK, well, to give you a flavour, we took one of Yorkshire's key figures on the improv scene, Simon Thackeray. He runs the Shed venue, and he went down to sample the street parade that ran through the town on the day of the gig. It was inspired by an unusual local tradition called Tommy Talker Bands, as festival director Barney Stevenson told Simon.
There is a tradition of people getting dressed up and made up in mad costumes and making their own instruments, washboards and gramophone horns and goodness knows what, and basically going out and making mischief and causing a bit of a riot in the streets. So they call them whiff and waffen bands, jiggerum juggerum, splish'em splash'em, rough and ready, woodbine willies, the nanny gown lancers, the underground artillery.
I've just spotted parrots on heads. Parrots that appear to be either really, really enjoying themselves, clinging on for dear life, or doing something I can't mention. There are colanders, feathers, a man in a flying hat and a flying machine, and in the background, hills and rather startled-looking sheep. People are beginning to gather, the sun is out, and this has got to be the best fun you can have in Marsden.
Simon Thackeray sampling the delights of the Marsden Festival. And Ian, it's kind of surreal. It sounds very odd, surreal, and it really connects with that sort of avant-garde side of things, but also that lovely sort of playing with words there, the names of those bands.
It does. That's what's exciting about it, isn't it? That somehow, with that street parade, although they're playing things that aren't avant-garde, you think, well, actually, just turn it over a notch, and it almost could be, and here we are in the middle of West Yorkshire, people walking about with parrots on their heads. It's just a simple step from there to appreciating the kind of music that we love, which is what Marsden's all about.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a connection with the music we're about to hear. Actually, Simon Thackeray's put a video of the street parade up online. You can go there and see lots of kind of wacky contraptions and maybe some parrots on heads. We'll put a link to that on the Jazz on 3 website, bbc.co.uk/radio3/jazz on 3. Well, later that same day, Marsden's Royal British Legion hosted the premiere of a new work by composer and bass player Simon Fell, commissioned by the festival. It's called Ragging of Time, and it's a piece that explores the relationship between early jazz and the avant-garde. And Simon definitely comes from that avant-garde perspective, a highly respected member of the improv scene and also a post-serialist composer. So interesting, Ian, that he's chosen to explore the link between that avant-garde side of things that he's into, but also, in a way, a kind of a popular music and a much more accessible music, the music of sort of ragtime and New Orleans.
That's the exciting thing about this commission, I think, because Simon is such a fantastic player and composer. And when you're asked to do a commission, I'm sure you could just do what you would normally do. And he hasn't done that. He's done this amazing thing where he has actually made the music travel in time. And he said, look, here are the links. Here are the links between the ragtime and the avant-garde. Here's the links between this kind of music that we're all familiar with and unfamiliar music. To hear it is a very physically exciting experience because you get the stuff that you're kind of familiar with, then the stuff you're not familiar with, and your brain goes, wait a minute, they're not that far apart.
Well, Simon wrote of this piece, I realised that what had always interested me in music, raggedness, graininess, swing, was intrinsically linked to the birth of jazz. The ragging of time is a time tunnel that allows the musicians to slip backwards and forwards over the decades within a split second. And we'll hear more from Simon about his new piece in a conversation with Simon Thackeray in around about 15 minutes' time. So here is the first movement of The Ragging of Time. Alongside Simon Fell, who plays the bass, are Alex Ward on clarinet, Shebaka Hutchings, who's playing bass clarinet, Percy Persglove on trumpet, Richard Compt on guitar, and Paul Hessian on drums. Thank you.
Thank you.
Some wonderfully unexpected music recorded in perhaps an unusual location, the Marsden Royal British Legion, as part of the Marsden Jazz Festival. They commissioned that work from Simon Fell, the first movement there of The Ragging of Time. That was called Le Bam, Le Bam, Un Cauchemar, and we'll hear more from that concert very soon. You're listening to Jazz on 3 with me, Jez Nelson. We were talking a little earlier on about the unusual combination of free improvisation and early jazz that are at the heart of this piece. And the improvising promoter Simon Thackeray from The Shed in North Yorkshire met up with Simon Fell backstage before this gig to explore that more.
The connection between early jazz and avant-gardism, I think, was obvious to anybody, I would imagine, who was alive, you know, at the beginning of the 20th century. The fact that jazz was enormously popular as well, and it shouldn't disguise the fact that it was tremendously symbolic of the new, of the radical, and that
slightly dangerous as well.
Absolutely, perhaps. Yes, completely subversive from a, you know, a moral point of view, and all kinds of things, and the ragging of time, as it were, this disruption of regular rhythm and so on, was tremendously threatening in many ways for some parts of the establishment, and it seemed to me that actually, in Britain particularly, we have a slightly strange relationship with this kind of music, and particularly, I guess, people of my sort of age who grew up in the 60s and 70s, because there's also a kind of traditional trad jazz, British thing, which happened, as you know, late 50s, early 60s, which for many people, I guess, represented the establishment, represented the acceptable face of jazz, the you know, the jolly party face of jazz, and actually for young radicals, it was exactly what you wanted to get away from. So of course we were rushing out to buy Archie Shepp records, not Aka Bilk records. But that's more the case in this country than elsewhere, and I think it's more the case for, say, for me than some of the younger players I work with, who don't have those memories of Saturday tea time telly, with you know, stripy waistcoats and banjos and all of that.
And wrestling.
Yes. Now, Paul Hessian is a great fan of wrestling, so you should talk to him about that. The interesting thing is, for me, dealing with some of the repertoire we're going to deal with today is probably interestingly going to be seen as being more provocative than perhaps playing a load of Coltrane or Ornette tunes, for example. But I don't see why that should be the case. Everybody, in theory, knows about the intrinsic links between free playing and collective improvisation in early jazz, for example. Everybody talks about that, but actually very few people explore what that would mean in a modern playing context. So if somebody came to me and said, well, I can now see the connection between 60s free jazz and King Oliver, I'd think, oh, very good.
Very good. Yes, you reminded me of something that Billy Jenkins said, which was, you have to be able to play straight to play wonky. And I see you as kind of slotted at that end, or at least working part-time.
I think that's where I live. Yeah, yes. I mean, I live at the wonky end, to use your... And I'm not sure how straight I can play it. I used to wonder about that, but eventually I realised that it's not something I need to do. Actually, if anybody plays with me, they have to play wonky anyway.
Simon Fell talking about living at the wonky end of town, which we know is the best place to live, of course, talking to Simon Thackeray of The Shed. Thanks to Simon for that. My guest on Jazz on 3 tonight is the poet and jazz fan and presenter of Radio 3's The Verb, Ian McMillan. And Ian, do you recognise what Simon was talking there in terms of that attitude to trad jazz, if you like, New Orleans music? In fact, there was a kind of a backlash against that in the 60s and 70s, but actually we can forget just how radical that music would have been.
We do tend to forget that. We tend to, as Simon said, remember it as Saturday tea time television things. And yet when you do think about it and read about it and listen to it, you think, gosh, that was so different, so exciting, politically, sexually, emotionally, to listen to people playing like that. I like the way he talked about it cross-fading from one music to another, because that's what he seems to have done in that piece. He seems to have cross-faded these two traditions of the avant-garde and the trad, if you like, and just met them meet somewhere that happens to be Marsden. And, of course, Marsden's famous for that. There's a long tunnel, stand-edge tunnel, so somehow that works in Marsden as well, because you're somehow on this tunnel between the trad and the avant-garde, and he's met in the middle where they used to walk with the feet upside down on canal boats.
Well, someone else who's made a distinctive contribution to improvisation and jazz is the poet Michael Horowitz. He's going to be in conversation with Ian a little later on as we celebrate his 80th birthday. Now we're going to go back to the stage of the Royal British Legion in Marsden for another half hour of music from Simon Fell's Ragging of Time, and a bit of a brain teaser while you listen. I reckon Ian may be able to crack this one, because the first movement was called Le Bam Le Bam Un Cauchemar, and the final two movements are called The Unstable Cylindrical Structure and The Human Omelette of 1926. Apparently, they're cryptic crossword clues to jazz song titles. Ian, have you got it yet?
Not quite.
Right, we'll give you a half an hour to crack that. Answers on a postcard. You can email me, jazzon3@bbc.co.uk, or you can tweet at @bbcjazzon3. Here we go. More from The Ragging of Time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. That music really took me by surprise when I first heard it. A new work from Simon Fell called The Ragging of Time, commissioned by the Marsden Jazz Festival and recorded at that festival last year. The last two pieces were called The Unstable Cylindrical Structure and The Human Omelette of 1926. And you may remember the first piece was called La Bam, La Bam, Un Cauchemar. And according to Simon, they are cryptic crossword clues to jazz song titles. Ian McMillan from The Verb and I have been sort of racking our brains during that. Any closer to cracking the conundrum?
I think in the end, probably the question is just as exciting as the answer.
Yeah, who knows? We might be disappointed, but I do want to find out. So we're going to be... we'll let you know in a couple of weeks' time exactly the meaning of those three pieces. Jazz on 3 at bbc.co.uk or you can tweet at bbcjazzon3 if you think you can crack those cryptic clues. And we've more music from the Marsden Jazz Festival on Jazz on 3 in a couple of weeks' time from the guitarist Moss Fried and his quartet Let's Spin. So good music to check out live this week. Polar Bear have a great new CD out, and they're going to be playing at the Village Underground in London on Wednesday the 8th. Marius Nesit is playing at the Crucible in Sheffield on Thursday the 9th and at the CBSO in Birmingham on Friday the 10th. And it's the Gateshead Jazz Festival this coming weekend. It runs from the 10th until the 12th, and that features gigs from Loose Tubes, who are back together again. I think that may be their only gig this year. John Schofield is going to be there, and also the Australian trio The Necks, who are also playing in Glasgow on Monday the 13th. And there'll be another chance to hear The Necks on this programme next Monday night. And something very special, stay tuned to the end of the show for a little taster of that, accompanied by an exclusive spoken word improvisation by my guest Ian McMillan. You ready for that, Ian?
Yes, I'm always ready for improvisation.
Okay. You're listening to Jazz on 3 with me, Jez Nelson. And this month, another improvising poet, Michael Horovitz, turns 80. We don't often feature spoken word on this programme, but Michael's been leading the charge when it comes to bringing together improvised poetry and jazz for over 50 years. So we asked Ian to talk to him for this programme. Ian, before we hear your conversation with Michael Horovitz, just kind of sum up why he's such an important figure.
He's a hero to me because he taught me that actually poets can stand up in public and not simply spout their own verse, but work in conversation with musicians. I first heard him, like a lot of the music I first heard, on John Peel's show on Radio 1, and they played some of the things he did with Bobby Wellens and with Stan Tracy, and I thought, goodness me, this, I've never heard anything like that before. And so when I spoke to Michael, I began by asking him when his interest in working with jazz musicians began.
Jazz replaced Judaism as my religion in my mid to late teens, and the discovery of all the old jazz and blues was a great thrill for me. And having been interested in poetry since early childhood, because my family of 10 siblings and lots of family and friends from overseas fleeing the Nazis and so on, poetry had been part of our lives. And being the youngest, I was always interested in finding different ways. When we sang together, I had to find obscure ways of finding harmonies or contributions all the other elder ones had bagged. And I thought of poetry very much as performance. And then when I heard Lead Belly, Bessie Smith, old jazz, Bunk Johnson, Louis Armstrong, it was a natural way of proceeding.
Suddenly, warming up a riff, thriving from a riff. Jazz hits the car radios of the world, and all together they gently move and bounce off each other like bumper cars. Woo-wee, in out of motels, hotels.
And I wonder then what working with jazz musicians gives you as a poet, do you think? What does it add to a poet's palate to be able to work with jazz musicians?
For me it was more interesting to let words and word sounds come in a natural way, not to think of myself as a poet working with some musicians, which makes it look like a bit of a three-legged race, as though we were competing. Of course, there is the competitive element in all of us and in many art media. Saxophone battle or the cutting contest, and in chase choruses there's this conscious musical aggression, which Pete Brown and I kind of emulated. We did exchange sound poems.
Because in New Departures, there's some chase choruses in that, aren't there?
Yes, and in Blues for the Hitchhiking Day.
Yes, yes, hitchhikers, plumbers, rejoice greatly. This is a spiritual age.
And, yes, spirits, yes, flash through the aging public streets, lash to raging cars, cars, carnivorous in the ash-blue dust of hikers gone, and no more wagons till dawn, only the churning organ noise of the hidden countryside factories.
As one caged in a ditch clutches at the winding sheets of dream structures, relics. Is this a very old part of the city? I mean, like quaint? Well, yes, it is. Well, again, it ain't.
So that is that extended poem that was written by you and Pete Brown and performed alongside people like Stan Tracy. So somehow it so interests me that the jazz informed what you're doing, and yet when you recite or perform poetry, it can't be as abstract as jazz can be, can it? So somehow, whenever you perform a poem, it's got a narrative or it's got images in it. Words are concrete, if you like. And I wonder what the relationship of that is with the jazz that was being played.
Well, I would take issue with you there. Well, you're a brilliantly talented poet in both formal verse and elaborating the formalism. But for Pete Brown and me, well, I should speak for myself anyway, the word sounds are always without a sense of having to fit into any preconceived frame. And my masters were people like James Joyce and William Burroughs, whose works are full of references. I mean, Ulysses alone, let alone Finnegan's Wake, is full of topography and detailed history and 17 languages. And yet if you read them aloud, you find there's a very straightforward folk music at the heart of it. It's got Sinbad the Sailor, Finbad the Failure, Windbag the Whaler, and it's just delightful.
So in the end, then, it's the music of the language. And if you want meaning, yeah, then meaning will come through the music.
Well, questions about meaning and formal boundary lines called music were matters, as they remain, for me, not worth wasting our breath on. What matters is the sound that you make, or the energy of your performance, or the strong communication you make.
Slip out the back door and hope to grasp the moon. Clambering up the stairs with my girlfriends, on up to the attic, I see the light through the open door, through the open window, a dog barking at it. I charge through and out.
Let's go forward to the jazz poetry that you're doing today, because you've been working with Graham Coxon and Paul Weller and Damon Albarn. Tell us about that.
Yes. Bank Busted Nuclear Detergent Blues was written as a commission for Paul Weller's Sonic Kicks.
So when you worked with Graham and Paul and Damon, how do you think you influenced them?
Well, they were quoted as saying they had never been in these areas before and were delighted with the whole process. Graham found himself on saxophone, I suppose, with a bit of extra pep talk from me, though a different tone of voice from the guy in Whiplash. And his saxophone playing was so eloquent, and without becoming program music to my text, it just became a part of the overall sound. There's a section where I talk about the agony of animals in a slaughterhouse. A slaughterhouse ahead, a slaughterhouse, and nothing more. And Graham just wailed on his saxophone. It's a cliche almost when people talk, wow, he's really wailing. But he really was.
The slaughterhouse ahead. The slaughterhouse ahead. The slaughterhouse ahead and nothing more.
I've been working for 15 years with a band we've called William Blake Klezmatrics, and the key members are Pete Lemer on piano and Annie Whitehead's trombone. And with Annie, who's blonde and blue-eyed and had never heard a word of Hebrew till I showed her these klezmer songs and Jewish poems, when we did our first gig at Victoria and Albert Museum, I was in the wings getting ready and she was on stage rehearsing, and I heard on her lovely trombone the exact sounds with every detail of melisma and harmonic and melodic beauty, what I'd been singing aged six around my family table of these old Jewish klezmer songs.
You do play the Anglo saxophone in that. Now, you've described it before as a handheld device fashioned out of a kazoo, a plastic tube from a lady's hosiery-making machine, some gaffer tape and a secret ingredient.
Unfortunately, we are now in 2015, and that comment was probably made in about 2000, and
yes,
since that time it has suffered further depredations, as indeed has its owner. I mean, what happens is we play a gig and we'll play certain numbers we've done before, such as William Blake's The Tiger and the Jewish song of peace. Shalom Aleichem, Malachia, Shalom, Malachia, Elyon. Malachi Elyon, Mihi Melech Malchi Amlochem. And the joy of doing that comes to better fruition when there's Annie Whitehead's trombone and Pete Lima's piano and flutes and other players. And we've all loved the works of William Blake. And Annie at first thought it was strange to put together William Blake with Jewish music. And then when we got going, it seemed the most flowing, lovely thing. I come back to this joy of working with other people and trying to reconcile and synthesize all the different influences throughout our communal history.
Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night. What immortal hand or eye dare frame thy fearful symmetry? What immortal hand or eye dare frame thy fearful symmetry?
Michael Horovitz talking to Ian McMillan. And Ian, he obviously still remains an influence for you to this day.
He does, partly because he will have a go at anything, and that always, whenever you meet him, he's excited about the next project and the next way that he can somehow make words and music go together. So I hope that I'm still as sprightly as him when I'm 80.
I reckon you will be.
Well, I've only got 4 years to go.
Well, the Super Jam LP with Graham Cox and Damon Albarn and Paul Weller that was mentioned during that interview has just been reissued on Gearbox Records. We'll put a link to that on the Jazz on 3 website. And we heard Stan Tracy and Bobby Wellins performing alongside Michael in the original Super Jam band just now. Well, next week at Ronnie Scott's, it's the 50th anniversary of Stan Tracy's Under Milk Wood. And that recording is going to be celebrated by a band that features Bobby Wellins alongside Stan's son, Clark Tracy, who I saw performing last night and was on fine form. That's almost it for this week. Remember to tune in on next Monday night to hear Australian trio The Necks in performance. Ian, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you also for closing the programme tonight in a way that we've never done it before, and that's with an improvised poem with The Necks, a little sneak preview of what we're going to hear next week. And I should say, you've not heard the music and you've prepared nothing.
No, which is always the best way, I think.
So I'll just say thank you again to Ian. Thank you also to my producer, Chris Elcombe. Jazz on 3 is a Something Else production for BBC Radio 3. Good night from me, Jez Nelson. I'll leave you with The Necks and Ian McMillan.
At this time of night, at this time of year, the trees are waiting for something interesting to happen. At this time of night, at this time of year, the birds are waiting in the trees for something interesting to happen. My next door neighbour, Gillian, will still be awake at this time. Her kitchen light will still be on. She opens the door, long after midnight, walks down the drive with a handful of sultanas. The trees are hoping something interesting will happen. She gets the sultanas and scatters them like dark stars on the gatepost. And the blackbirds that you can't see because it's dark, apart from their beaks, swoop on the sultanas and eat them one by one. Yellow beaks against the sultanas. And the trees, well, the trees are still waiting for something interesting to happen.